church on a given Sunday. Those readings are part of what's called the lectionary, a three-year cycle that appoints four passages from the Bible to be read in church each Sunday of that three-year cycle. And for those of you just chomping at the bit to know, we are now in year C. Every so often, the lectionary gives us a Bible passage that priests might rather just skip over. For instance, I always feel somewhat convicted when I hear Jesus saying in chapter 20 of Luke's Gospel that people ought to beware of the clergy, who love to walk around in long robes and have the best seats in the houses of worship. My robes, after all, are pretty long. And I do get to sit right next to our wonderful choir, so I may well have the best seat in the house. I often start to sweat a little when we get to passages like the one in chapter 20 of Luke, and try, whenever possible, to give it to another priest to read. Today is one of those Sundays when I feel a little convicted by the Bible, and in fact, maybe we all should feel that way. If we read today's Old Testament passage from the prophet Isaiah at face value, God does not care for worship services. The Lord says, "Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. I cannot endure solemn assemblies. Your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me, and I am weary of bearing them." Well, at least we don't have incense. But as with Jesus' comments on clergy in Luke, in Isaiah, God does not hate worship full stop, the way, say, I hate mayonnaise full stop. God hates it when we think that our worship is the whole point of the religious life. In Isaiah, God tells us what should be at the heart of religious life, saying, "Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow." In the words of Jesus, "Love your neighbor as yourself." To borrow from an old saying about poetry, religious worship is like a finger pointing to the moon. We point to the moon in the sky to help us find the moon, but the finger is not the moon. We gather together on Sundays to pray and sing and read the Bible because it helps us to connect with God, which in turn reminds us whose we are and inspires us to follow Christ. Quakers gather each week to meet God in total silence for an hour. The Russian Orthodox have icons and incense and genuflecting and polyphonic chanting for something more like 3 hours each Sunday in order to meet God in their lives. All of it, any of it, is like health care for the soul. It helps to remind us that we are not God, that God is God, and that we are loved by God who created and sustains us. And we are hopefully comforted, challenged, and energized. In the words of the communion, post-communion prayer, to go out and do the work the Lord has given us to do. Certainly, if you have to choose between loving your neighbor and going to church, love your neighbor. But that's a bit like saying you have to choose between eating your vegetables and exercising. You can do both, and you should do both. And indeed, doing one should inspire you to do the other. This morning, in the final verse we heard from Isaiah, God tells us that our sins will be forgiven. He says, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." We might initially think that it's the good deeds that Isaiah describes in the preceding verse that are what bring about this forgiveness. But between those verses, we have this short sentence: "Come now, Let us argue it out, says the Lord. Another way we could translate that sentence from Hebrew is, come, let us meet together. Goal, and hopefully the result, of both our worship and our good deeds is meeting God. When we've stopped to help someone who has fallen, we have met God, because Jesus tells us, just as you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. When we enter this house of God and lift up our voices together and bow our heads together, it is to meet God. Some weeks we may feel that more than others, but that is why we are engaged in this act of worship. In this passage from the prophet Isaiah, as in life, the linchpin that ties together how we pray and how we live is meeting God, whom we know in Jesus Christ. We do that in other ways too, in our giving, in small groups, and in all the various ministries that so many of you do here at Grace each Sunday: reading, ushering, welcoming, altar gilding. I just made up that last verb, by the way. And on. All that you do here in this place and in your homes and offices and in the markets and cafes and on the street corners, seek God, the God who says, come, let us meet together, the God from whom comes forgiveness and peace. Amen.